You are listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn from this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical, the podcast that explores the intersections of science and spirituality. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci, and I'm here to help you to awaken to your true spiritual nature and remind you that you are a cosmic being having a temporary human experience here on lovely planet Earth. This is Season 5, The Great Awakening. In this season, we are focusing on what I and many people are calling the Great Awakening, currently happening right now on planet Earth. So far this season, I have created episodes based on information I think is vital to share. But I also want to have guests on to offer their views and their tools during these transformative times. And today, we are going to have amazing guest TJ Ryan on the show. And I want to give a shout out to one of the amazing members of my Up, Up, and Awaken community for introducing TJ and I. So thank you so much, Laura. Laura was already a friend of TJ's, and she found her way to my community through this podcast. And her guidance told her to introduce TJ and I. And I just love this. The members in this Up, Up, and Awaken community are incredible, and they're helping each other and me more and more to connect with aligned people, share stories, and continuously awaken together. And I couldn't be more grateful to that beautiful community. It's an honor to Up, Up, and Awaken with you. TJ has been a radio announcer for 40 years and a podcaster for 12 years. And paranormal has always been a thing for him. At the age of 4, TJ had several out-of-body experiences, not knowing what they were. He saw a UFO when he was 8, an alien when he was 32. TJ lived in more than one house with spirits. And in his 20s, TJ started researching all things metaphysical, and it's been his passion ever since. His podcast, Out There, deals with the paranormal, natural health, and the metaphysical. He is curious by nature and wants answers for everything. TJ believes each of us holds a piece of the puzzle and each of us is in charge of our own journey as to how far we wish to go up the mountain. He's also a fellow Upper Midwesterner and truth seeker. So let's jump right into our interview. Are you ready? Let's get meta. Welcome, TJ. Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm very excited to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of your program.
I'm so excited about this. Well, TJ, the first question I ask all my guests is, would you please share a spiritual or metaphysical experience that you've had with our listeners?
I've had a few, but I'm going to share one that to me is about love, because I think that's the most important thing. My father, he died in 1984 of cancer, and he is a divine, wonderful spirit, like we all are. But he played a role of a being that did a bit of alcohol, and people that live in this area, they say that people do that a bit. And he was not always so friendly and pleasant. Matter of fact, he was very unpleasant to be around, but I never held that against him. I just loved him, you know, and I understood why he was. And he died in 84, and I barely got back in time to see him because I was working down in Mississippi at the time. So something popped in my head in 1996 to connect with him. And I'm thinking it was him that put it in my head, but it said, contact your dad. And I had read about, well, there's many different ways to go about it, but I read about if you, as you're going to sleep, you think of the person and you repeat their name or whatever it is you want to accomplish over and over and over again. So I would work early in the morning at the radio station, and I would set an alarm to take a nap because I'd stay up late every night back then. And I would set an alarm to go off at 6 so I could go pick up my girlfriend and have dinner. So I would lay down like at 4 in the afternoon or whatever and for a couple hours. So I remember as I was laying down, it was a summer day, and I was thinking about my dad, wanting to make contact with him again and again and again. I repeated his name over and over, and I drifted off. And then I was in this state. And it's not a dream. It's more than that. And as I was looking around, he was coming towards me, and it wasn't the same man that I remember that could be kind of grumpy. It was this very gentle soul, and he was surrounded by white light. And he shot a wave of love at me. And this has happened to me a few times in my life. And it went right through me. And it was this bliss, pure, absolute joy. I can't describe it. Nirvana. Words don't describe it. And I just felt this love from him. And I thought, wow, is that my dad? he didn't say it when he was here. And he was so gentle, unlike with this construction worker guy that I remember, you know. Mm. And we talked for a little while, and it was very vivid. It was so real. And I said, I knew the dream was coming to an end. And I said, Dad, if I want to see you again, what do I do? And he said, just think of me and I'll be there. And at that very moment, as soon as he said that, my alarm on my radio kicked on, and there was a song. Back in 1991, and this was 1996, but in 1991, the Escape Club created a song, and it was called I'll Be There. And the lyrics are, I may have died, I've gone nowhere, just think of me, and I'll be there. And that song came on right after he told me that. And I knew that this is what we are and what we can become and what we really are. You know, we are these beings, in my opinion, of pure joy, love, undescribable. And what we are here is not necessarily that. You know, we lose sight of that, or we forget that, or maybe by choice. To me, that was one of the best moments I've ever experienced in my life.
I am so grateful to you for sharing that. That made me emotional listening to it, because I've had a similar experience, believe it or not. But that is beautiful, right down to the alarm and then the song coming on the radio. That is divine. And for me, I don't know, tell me what you think, but for me, that is more than a dream. That happened. That's an experience. That's something that happened while your body was sleeping and maybe a part of your mind was dreaming. But it's, you know, I've talked about this on previous episodes, like you were having a soul experience, right?
Absolutely. And I really believe, you know, because of the clarity, you know, when I've had these moments, I've had a few of them, they were so clear. And you know the difference. You know, my mom died, and I always wondered if she's going to come back and visit me or another loved one. And you have these dreams. And now I know the difference between a dream, which may be just burning off some things, and a true communication, at least from my perception. It's very clear. You actually feel an incredible, like in this case, emotion of joy and that wave of love. Both of my parents have come back and sent that to me. And it was just their way of proving it. But I really feel my father in this case, after he passed, they say there's like a life review and you see how you affected everybody. And he tried to make good with me, I think, which he didn't have to. But my brother, 7 years later in 2003, was laying in bed, and my dad was right next to him with his head on his shoulder. And, you know, women don't have a problem with this. But God, that's a little, especially with your father being that close, especially when you're a grown man and your dad's laying next to you. And so, but he laid next to him, and my brother had a lot of resentment towards my dad. But he said they had a nice talk. It was very peaceful. And instead of waking up like I did, he just faded away as the room got lighter. And the reason he laid on his shoulder, because he could feel it for 10 minutes after. And so these are the things that spirit does that we doubt, you know, but it's all around us.
Absolutely. These stories are they're touching me in a very deep place because I had a very similar experience that I believe I've already talked about on the podcast, but I had a dear friend who was one of my best friends in middle and high school. He was shot and killed in Chicago completely by accident. I had a very similar soul experience and feeling, you know, I was walking down this pathway and he was at the end of it looking, you know, taller and a bit older than he was in life. And we hugged and I could feel his cheek on my cheek. And it was just like,
wow,
exactly kind of how you're explaining it. It's so clear. It's so true. It's so vivid. And I think more people have those experiences than maybe we even know about. I think a lot of people have similar experiences, and that in itself for me cannot be talked away. It can't be, you know, rationalized or logicked away. That happened. And just hearing your story and your brother's story, sorry to interrupt, is just further validation of these. Please continue.
I was just going to say, they really do try to validate it because they want you to believe it. So if you pay close attention, you know, like with my mom, she shows up and she just smiles at me and this wave of love goes right through me and it just melts me. And she's got a horse on her shoulder and she's got a little squirrel in her hand. This happened. And she loved animals. And that's why I love animals. But she had a little squirrel in her hand and was nuzzling underneath her chin, if you can believe that. And the little squirrel's looking at me going, and the horse is on her shoulder and it's rubbing her shoulder like with his head over the top of her. And and my mom looked younger and she looked healthier. And then after I came out of that, and she didn't say anything to me, but I knew it was the same as my father, same visitation, same clear, same feeling of joy, love passing through me, that the horse, I forgot, because I didn't ride much of the horse when I was a kid. That was the horse we had when I was a kid.
Wow. Yeah, of course it was.
And the squirrel, what was the meaning of the squirrel? And I always dig deeper because I want to find what things are. And then I remembered when I first moved out to Wilson, Michigan, where I live now, in 2001, there was a little rogue squirrel running around. And by rogue, he was not a very nice little squirrel. I don't think he had a mommy. And so he didn't play well with the birds and all the other critters. And he would get in my face and he'd get on my deck and he'd leave a mess. And I was getting frustrated. And I'm not one to kill anything. But this is one squirrel I wanted to blow away. Now, I shouldn't say that. I say that with love. And he was up in a tree. And I guess what bothered me is that he was messing with other animals. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to catch him if I can. If not, I'm going to release him. But I went and got my .22, which is the only gun I have, and I never use it. And I fired a shot off. And I'm horrible shot because I don't shoot guns. And I'm so grateful I didn't kill him. But I somehow must have hit the branch, and he fell down to the ground. And I thought, oh, my goodness, did I kill him? Did I hurt him? He got up, slow motion. He kind of looked at me, what did you do? And he's crawling up the tree and he's looking at me the whole time with his head looked at me like, you're not going to shoot again. And I thought, no, I won't. I'll take the time and build a good trap and we'll catch you and release you somewhere. And that's what I did. I built it. I got some chicken wire. I got some wood. I'm not much of a carpenter, but I built this and he went in there and the door closed and I released him about 10 miles away and I never saw him again. And all the other squirrels in the yard were wonderful and nice. And I get along great with these animals because I allow them to be, and I don't care if they chew on my flowers or whatever the case may be. But this little fellow was looking for trouble. So we got him out of there. And squirrels live how long? 8, 9 years? So my mom comes to visit me in 2011 and she's got the little squirrel under her and he's looking at me and going, no karma, you did the right thing. you almost screwed up. Yes, I almost did, but I learned from that. And you know what I find also is that when you live out in nature, the way you treat these animals will come back to you. So people have skunks in their yard and they hate it because it digs up the yard. I say dig up my yard all you want. The deer will chew on my flowers and people hate that. or the squirrels will, as long as they're not chew, even they chew holes. I've got a little tiny garage where I store things. So instead of going after the squirrel, I just kept putting up boards around the outside of it. It looks pretty goofy, but I've got all these different boards to protect it so he doesn't keep digging in there. But, you know, I'd rather live with it than try to remove it. My father-in-law, he hates skunks in his yard. He's got a really nice yard, so he shoots them. Mm. Well, the funny thing is, what you do creates more. So he says, but I keep getting more skunks, TJ. I don't get this. I said, well, you need to make peace with them. I get one maybe, if that's it. And instead, he keeps shooting them. So we're coming back. I had to work for the radio station. That was a late night. And we're coming back, and it's like 1 a.m. I had done a live broadcast in another town, and we're pulling in, and sure enough, there in his yard is a skunk. Mm-hmm. And he's taken away in the yard. And I thought, there you go. This is what happens when you don't create harmony with nature and you get it in your head that everything has to be taken out because it's right. A nuisance. So I'd rather have them chew on everything. And I've lived peacefully with all of them because of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're bringing up a few really important points. And, you know, one, we brought up the word karma, and that's a whole episode on its own, or a series or season of episodes. But Right. Also what you're bringing in is that you know, something that I like to talk about a lot, and I want to see how you feel about this, but it's asking the universe for what you want instead of what you don't want. Instead of trying to remove something, you focus on the things that you do want. And my experience is that those things tend to be brought to you. And if you do focus on something that you don't want, for example, like skunks in your yard, all the universe hears is, oh, skunks, here you go. They don't hear the negative. Right. So if you're sending right. Your energy into, I don't want skunks in my yard, I don't want skunks in my yard, universe hears, skunks, here you go, here you are. Right. And I've experienced that so much in my life, not with skunks particularly, but, you know, through other means. And I learned pretty quickly that you really want to focus on the things that you want and just don't even mention or say the things that you don't want.
Yeah, whatever we put our focus on, I totally agree with you. We get more of. So, you know, I don't know, I'm just at peace with it. And I don't even really talk about it. When something happens, I always see it as an opportunity to grow. You know, maybe not right at that moment, you know, but as over time, it's like, wow, this was such a great lesson and I could learn from it. And plus, like we've talked, I'll look up when I see an animal. I've had very many experiences with animals. I even feel like I have an animal totem, which is an animal spirit guide, Native American gathering. I found out it was a black bear, which I used to dream about when I was a kid. So I know that we have animal spirit guides as well. And so every animal that interacts with us, not maybe everyone, if you see an eagle 2 miles away, and he's maybe that doesn't mean anything, but an animal that's close up or just doing something unusual, I've had many of those circumstances, is many times reflecting something back to you. And books like Animals Speak, and there's many other things. You can go and look online and find out the meaning of many things. But it's, you know, the ancient cultures knew these things, I think, and they understood when something showed up. And we've kind of lost sight of these ancient teachings that were very wise. So that's what I look at too. When I have an animal encounter, there's a message a lot of times. And even like with deer, I used to hit deer on my way to work. I live 15 miles out of town. And it was always when I was a little worked up about things, usually related to things going on at work and people not behaving or treating others well. That always bothered me. And so I would get kind of wound up on the drive in, and these deer kept jumping out in front of me. Yeah. And I took probably 6 or 7 lives. And then I finally realized they're warning me. Deer are gentle, but they're strong. So deer a lot of times can represent gentle strength. And so when I started adopting that, I haven't hit a deer in over 10 years because I started to adopt that more docile. You can still be strong and have a voice, but you don't have to let emotion take over you. I think they were warning me, and they were willing maybe to give up their life to save me, because had I stayed on that course of anger, it eats away at you and it can manifest and turn into cancer or some other disease. So thank you to all those wonderful beings that are the same as you and I, that are just choosing to be an animal.
Yeah, that's lovely. While you're talking, it's so clear that your love of animals, and not only your love of animals, but like that is clearly how you get a lot of information, is through animals. And I just have to share with you, have you ever talked to, do you know of any animal spirit talkers? Because I have a dear friend who lives in Door County, Wisconsin, and I've had her on my podcast. It's episode 11, Animal Spirit Talkers with Lynn Schuster. So that was one of my first episodes, but you would really enjoy it, TJ. So take a listen. And if you are interested, I can connect you too, because I think that you would actually love connecting with this person. Based on the way that you get information.
Please, I would absolutely love it. I'd love to have her on. Thank you so much.
Of course. I just love, you know, I can hear it in your voice. So I think that would be great. I'll connect you to after the interview. This season that I'm doing right now is season 5. And as you know, I don't know if you even do seasons in your podcast, and they're kind of arbitrary, I think, for a lot of podcasters. But for me, this season is called The Great Awakening, and I started it several weeks ago. My seasons are typically 12 episodes long. This is going to be longer. I might never have another season. It might only be season 5, The Great Awakening, 4 years from now. We will see, because of all this shifting happening on the planet. And I do really feel like that is why I incarnated, that all of this is why I incarnated. But I want to ask you, TJ, what's your take on what's going on in the world right now? How would you characterize it? Do you think it's a great awakening of sorts, or how would you characterize that?
I would definitely agree with you that it's a great awakening. I mean, I think there are things going on the planet that are, from my take, and it may not be right, we have been controlled and we've allowed it. It's not like we were hijacked. There were those that wanted to run the show, and being the loving beings we are, we said sure. And so we had an agreement for, you know, you could look at like the Mayans and say 26,000 years every cycle, maybe beyond that. And so we were willing to let these beings, which are really of the light, even if they don't appear that way, everybody is of the light, and they've been calling the shots and keeping us from moving forward like we are now. And so this agreement has come to an end, and they're going, well, we don't want this to end. And we're going, but we do. And they're saying, well, we're going to create chaos in the world, but this chaos is going to be used by us, in my opinion, to see things on a bigger, deeper level. And this is all moving us towards the fifth dimension. I agree with you on that. And it is moving us towards connection with our higher consciousness. So it's all meant to serve us, and it's how we choose to perceive it. And if we don't get too involved politically, and I'm not saying it's bad for people to believe in something, but we put so much energy into it, and we fail to look at maybe both sides or all sides and understand that there could be truth and lies in all of it. And for me, it's easy to step back away from it just by saying, I could be wrong on all of this. I could be totally wrong. And our egos sometimes have a tough time with that. But this is a time of awakening, the dawning of the new age, the age of Aquarius, the age of God consciousness. I believe in all of that. And I think for me, 2012, the ancients understood that. And that's why their calendars ended in 2012, like the Mayans, because they were saying time no longer exists. Well, in the fifth dimension, does time exist, Renata?
I don't know the answer to that. I haven't checked in with my high self on that, but I would be willing to say that it is not the same way that we conceptualize time and as we do in the third and fourth dimension.
So if we're moving towards that, then we're moving into a time that doesn't exist, at least time as we understand it. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't exist, but I believe that there's this great change, and the ancients knew about it. Many of them did. And this is what they were trying to tell us. And of course, the ones that didn't want that to come out, which were just doing as they were allowed to do, have kind of kept that from us. And that's where I see us going now. And all these things can wake us up. They're going to nudge us a little more. We're going to demand more, not just for our country, but for the world. we're going to take go from Black Lives Matter to all souls, everything matters on this planet. That's what I believe is going to come forward. And we're going to start embracing those that have the least on the planet. And we're just all going to become much more supportive and loving. And it's going to become a global understanding instead of countries that are seen as separate. And we're all seen as separate from source. You know, we're going to be connected to it.
I love your take. I love your take, TJ. And I want to dig into some of the things you said a little bit more, because we are very aligned in the way that I think we're perceiving what's going on in the world right now. And you touched on a lot of things that I think are really important. And just for our listeners, I wanted to share with them, you know, that when we became acquainted, I went and listened to your most recent episode on your podcast, and I only got 3 minutes in, and I was just like, I absolutely want to speak with this person, because you were discussing so beautifully a very neutral and non-reactive space for holding that space for in the context of everything that is going on in the planet right now. And I really respect that. And as I said to you before, that for me, that feels very much in fourth dimensional vibration, fourth dimensional view, way of observing things, as it is very observer. It's non-reactive, it's non-emotional. And of course, we can all go back into reaction, and we can go into emotion, and we can go into duality. But I really respect that. And it's good. It's so heartwarming to hear that other folks who have platforms such as podcasts and being on the radio, et cetera, can adopt and hold that space, especially when, you know, I think we all, I would never say that I'm completely out of reactivity and completely out of emotion and completely out of the duality, that very 3D space that you kind of touched on that. And I just wanted to dive deeper into it a little bit. The third dimension, which we are all moving out of, and can move out of in any now, in any moment, is very much one of duality, of right and wrong, and Republicans and Democrats, and black and white, and man and woman, and any other dualistic idea that you can come up with. But those 3 minutes of your episode that I listened to on your podcast, you know, showed to me a kindred soul, a kindred spirit who has the ability to attain that neutral state. And I think we really, really need that right now. We need that more, because on the one level, I know that everything that's happening on the planet right now is perfect and divine. And even the rioting and the looting and the COVID and all the things happen for a reason. And they're pushing us towards our next evolution. And there is space for more neutrality. There's space for us to come together and respect each other, even if our views are different, and slowly to keep raising in vibration and see that we are, as you said, all connected, and that we are all one, and that we don't have to have all these material constructions that separate us.
Absolutely. I mean, I've felt this a great shift after 2012 myself personally. I met someone I believe that is a twin flame, which they say is not doesn't happen too often, but more and more apparently that seems to be happening as they're bringing, you know, that unique love that twin flames have.
Tell us about that.
I very much love my wife. She is a soulmate. So, but this person I met just had this incredible energy, that this connection between us, and she started working with me. Like I said, with my parents, you know, you feel that wave of love. I felt that from this person. And I've never felt it in an awake thing before. And it just went whew, right through me. And then I started to question whether or not this was actually, you know, what a twin flame. And a twin flame is supposedly our, when we were created, or if we are just, we are creation, but we're male and female in one. And so to be in a physical body, the way it's been explained to me is that we split. And a lot of times one will be down on the planet and one will be supporting somewhere else or doing their own thing. And so rarely do both come together, but they say a lot of them are being incarnating now so that they can bring the twin flame love is the strongest love, if that's true. And that's what this world needs, is that pure, unconditional love. And that's the way I felt towards this person and still do to this day, even though she's moved on. But this wave of love I felt from her just blew me away. It's like, wow. And I think she felt something as well. And, you know, we didn't act on it, but you have this incredible connection. So I had this doubt, like I always do at first, you know. It's funny how we doubt things. And that's good, though, to be a little bit maybe second guess. It doesn't hurt to second guess a little bit sometimes. But so then I asked Source. First of all, I would see these numbers all the time when I was around her, 333-1111. And I went to a website and it said, yeah, when you meet your twin flame, they specifically said you will see 1111 and 333.
I said, wow.
And I thought, well, that's just a coincidence. So then I'm driving home, heading back to Wilson one day. And I said, if this person is my, truly my twin flame, Source, would you send me a message? Because her totem is an eagle and mine is a bear. And I said, show me an eagle, if you don't mind, to show me that this is true, or show me a bear, both of which I've seen out at my place where I live. And I totally forgot about it, which is what you kind of have to do. You just got to let it go. I didn't even think, you know, that I'd get a response. The very next day, I pull out on the highway and I was going west, and an eagle flew right over the top of my truck. And it's like, okay, I'm pretty sure now that this was the message. And we've been, you know, we've stayed connected since. And, you know, it's this love I feel for this being doesn't mean I have to be with them. It's not, it's an unconditional. I can't explain it. It's just, again, that very powerful, pure joy, unconditional love that I think we all have. But do you believe in twin flames?
Yeah, I do. I believe in them as a concept. And I think your explanation of what you've heard around them, how they don't necessarily incarnate together, and actually that's maybe rare, I that resonates with me, as does soulmate and those other terms, which are not the same, right? I feel like I have many soulmates incarnated here in my life in different capacities. So, you know, and for listeners who might be new to this topic, doesn't necessarily mean a romantic connection.
Oh, it doesn't
at all. So yeah, I do believe in that concept, and I very much am in resonance with the way that you explained it. And I think it's really interesting. I think you said that did that happen? You said that happened in 2012 for you.
2012 is when I had this great wake up. I started working with a friend of mine from Pennsylvania. She's a channel, a healer, a psychic, and I think she opened something up to me. And then I also had a great awakening when I went to this native lodge, and it seemed like things started opening up for me, and things happened there as well. So I felt that, you know, part of it was that awakening, but part of it brought us together, that we were meant to connect at least for a little while, and then we're both kind of working towards the same thing. She's got a very good heart. She's right now in nursing, so I know she's bringing that joy that she has to others in her own way. And even if, you know, don't you feel, Renata, if we're not, some people think, well, I got to get out in the world and bring my love and bring my joy, bring it to the A-team. And it's like, just holding that space with of love is going to reverberate all over the planet, isn't it?
I very much agree with you. And it's interesting you brought that up, because it's something that I don't know if it's just, I think a lot of people are actually question this about themselves right now, especially, well, I was going to say, especially my generation, but actually it could be, I don't think it's, you know, limited to by age, but what I'm getting at here is that I go in and out of being like, I have to share everything that I'm getting with as many people as I possibly can. And so there's that. And then there's also, I'll get the information. You don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. You just need to be in the highest, most loving vibration possible. You don't, even if you never opened your mouth, if you can hold that vibration, you're actually changing the world just by being in that frequency. So me personally, I go back and forth between needing to do the physical material work and feeling like I can do the spiritual work and not moving. And what I've kind of come to understand about myself personally is that I very much, and I've gotten this information several times from my guidance, and my high self is that something I came here to do is to materialize the spiritual and to spiritualize the material. And so I think that kind of conceptualizes my like back and forth a little bit, because, you know, remaining silent and remaining in that vibration would very much be more of, I think, a spiritual vibration. And then creating a podcast and an awakening community and a production company all based on awakening is very much a material thing, right? That's very much a material thing. So I float between those two, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I do think that we are being called more and more, as you said, to go inward and change the world from inside. If you can change yourself, you are changing the world.
You know, and you make a good point there, because I feel exactly the same way as you, Renata. I've been a radio broadcaster for 40 years. I've worked at the same radio station for 35. It's a good company. And I like what I'm doing to a point. I used to bring joy to people. At least I thought I did, by being fun and silly and childlike, because I think that's what we are. We're pure joy beings. And so I wanted to reflect that on the radio. And I had people calling in and joking around and kids calling in, people of all ages. And that showed me that I was reaching everybody. And that's kind of disappeared a bit. Things have changed a bit. And I really have no desire to keep doing this for a whole lot longer. And sometimes I have no desire to do my podcast, because I think I just want to find my joy. I don't care about all this other stuff. But then I also realized, well, you didn't sign up for this. Look right here. Here's a piece of paper and your signature's right there. And you said you were going to do this, didn't you? Well, yes, I did say I was going to continue to do this while I'm here.
Do you mean in a 3D life contract or in like a spiritual life contract?
Well,
just
yeah.
Out of curiosity.
I look at it as I made that signature before I came here.
Sure.
Of course, we change things as we come as well. I believe we can change anything we want. But, you know, you're going to go into your lifetime, the physical world, and you're going to say, what do you wish to accomplish here? Well, let me sign up for that. I want to get hit by a train tomorrow on this date, blah, blah, blah. Sure about that? You want to get by a train? Well, I'd like to know what that feels like. Or maybe, I ran over the conductor last time around, so it's his turn to run me over. So we make some contractual agreements, and I'm 100% sure this is what I signed up for. So sometimes reluctantly still doing it, you know, but it's not my first love. My first love is just finding joy and being in that space, like you said.
Well, TJ, I am here to encourage you to alter your timeline if you need to. If you're ready to alter your timeline and move into more joy, I highly encourage that, because I feel like the more joy that you are in, the higher vibration you will be, and therefore you'll be able to pull up all of those around you into that vibration the more that you are. So if you need to shift your timeline into having your podcast be all about joy and anything that you truly want to talk about or anything else you want to do in your life, I encourage you to do that, because it's all part of it, you know?
Well, I look at it more as, I'm not talking about even just shifting my podcast, because I'm curious and I like to find answers to things, but it's just doing the podcast is what I'm having difficulties with sometimes, because I've just, again, I'd just rather sit in joy, you know, sit in a state of joy and bliss. You can't do that all day, can you? Well, I could, I guess, after,
right.
You know, and plus part of it too is I work a lot of hours with the radio station and sometimes the weekends. So maybe part of it's burnout too. So I have to shift my focus to see what I want to bring forward now, right?
Yeah. Well, on that note, I want to ask you, what are you working with now, or what would you like to be working with now?
Well, on my own, I'm always working on my own personal, as far as meditations and trying to learn as much as I can about everything. Something catches my, but obviously awareness and moving us forward towards the fifth dimension. I know I'm on board with that. As far as physical work, like my podcast, I don't know. I just put it out to the universe and people come on or show up, and maybe I'll have a question. Would you, I wonder what this is about. And then boom, somebody, you know, I'll meet somebody that wants to explain. But I think the universe, there's so many things that we don't begin to know. And that's my great curiosity, is to continue to explore that. And also the big thing that's going on right now with the shift of the ages to move us into a greater enlightenment. And do you believe, Renata, that we're going to have, that our bodies are no longer going to age or get sick, or we're not going to have, when we reach this fifth dimensional state, are we going to still have physical bodies, or are they going to be light bodies?
That's such a good question. And, you know, I've definitely thought about it. I don't have the solid answer to that. I can give you what I feel might happen. I do believe that our bodies are going to, over time, shift into being lighter and lighter and lighter and less able, like the higher, this is just physics as well. The higher vibration you are, you know, the higher vibration your immune system, the less disease can even penetrate your body at all. We're constantly fighting off diseases all the time, even when we're perfectly healthy. So yeah, the idea that as we raise in vibration, that we will not be subjected to germs and disease and illnesses the way that we are now is very real, which could absolutely affect our longevity. I don't know that in my lifetime that I would necessarily, or we would transfer into non-solid body embodiment. I'm not seeing that for at least my lifetime, maybe over time potentially, but I do see our internal structures, even now, even in folks who aren't awake, so to speak, or folks who might not even be thinking about this, I do observe our physical bodies up-leveling and changing. And the rate at which that will continue to happen, I am unclear about. Do you have any thoughts about that, TJ?
You know, I keep an open mind, and maybe that's part of my problem. I keep an open mind to so many different things. And one of the things, a book I read a long time ago, a series of books, were called The Masters of the Far East. And some say that maybe this is fictitious. Some say it actually happened. But it's about a man who went in the 1890s and investigated these beings that had these abilities similar to what Jesus was known to have had. And they called them ascended masters. And these people had figured out how to ascend the human form and also keep the human form. And so that's always fascinated me. And it makes sense to me that if we raise our vibration high enough, we could literally take our physical bodies with us and they would never age. I believe they'd be unlimited. Why could we not just be unlimited? And we would not have to worry about food. If it's true what Jesus did, that he created, he had two fish and he fed everybody just by using his thoughts. And that's what they talk about in this book. These masters were able to make stuff appear out of thin air. And, you know, people can do that. I think we can do that. People have experimented a little bit with that, where they've been able to bend things or move things. And some people claim that they've made food out of thin air, or they've not eaten for years because they've raised their vibration enough to where they didn't need that. Some people don't even sleep. So we have all these people that are kind of on the fringe. I know people personally that were in a moment where something happened and they literally, this was a story about a young boy, and a couple of older men told me this happened back in the 50s, but a car ran out and trapped this boy underneath. The boy was out running in the street to pick up a ball. The boy got pinned underneath the car. This other young boy, 8 years old, runs out there, lifts up the car and says, "Get him out, boys, so he doesn't get hurt." And they pull the kid out. Now, it's just in that moment of forgetting who we are, or maybe remembering who we really are, that we can do these things. And I've seen that. And I really believe we are meant to be unlimited. And our bodies were designed, if I go back and believe the sources that I trust, they actually were designed not to age, designed not to die, designed to be unlimited. We were meant to create with our thoughts and do that here. But like I said in our earlier conversation, we wanted to give that up because we wanted to try something else. This is too easy. So let's have somebody control us and take away some DNA a little bit. And our brain only uses 10%. Let's shut off that third eye. And so, okay, this is hard now. How come I can't bend this spoon or move this pen?
Yes. No, I completely agree with you. I do. I completely agree. I know that those things happen. I trust that those things happen. And I think, yeah, before when you asked me the question, I was thinking, well, collectively, like all of us, yeah, I think it'll take a while to get there. Individually, that's already happening. Individually, it's absolutely already happening. And I believe that. So I'm really glad you brought that in. Absolutely.
Thank you for asking that. I love talking about that because I really believe, I mean, I could admit I could be totally wrong, but I believe Jesus was an ascended master.
Oh, absolutely.
And he was trying to show us, look, they can nail me to a cross. They can kill me, but I'm alive again. And I'm going to take my body and leave. Poof. And I used to read Raptha, and that's kind of where I got a lot of that. And I'm not sure if I believe everything that comes from that teaching, but it talked about being ascended masters, that we all are, really,
right,
and that we are all gods, and so that we have these abilities that we don't even realize. And he even said, and I tried to find things, I spent a good part of my life trying to prove what he said was true, because he'd said some really outrageous things. He talked about the grays, which are the, you know, the alien beings, and he said that these were beings that had the ability, that were very intelligent, and they were interacting with us, and they were using us for procreation to breed emotion back in. And I wanted to prove that. And now, how do you go about proving that? You can talk to people, or what if you have a desire to meet one? And so, I hope I'm not going on too long, Renata.
No, not at all. I want to hear this part.
Because this is the other thing I was thinking of telling you when you asked me about it, but I wanted to go the route of love, but this was love too. And so in 1992, this is the first time I used the formula of repeating something as I went to bed. And I said, I want to meet a gray. I want to meet a gray. I want to meet. Why did I do that? Why was I love that? And so as I doze off to sleep, I wake up in the middle of the night. It's clear as a bell. I know I'm awake. I sit up, and there at the corner of the room is a gray, what they call a gray being, with big eyes, 4 feet tall, very frail. And at first I didn't see him. I looked over, it's like, whoa, that's a gray. And then he started like gliding towards the end of my bed. And I thought, ugh. And then I noticed I couldn't move. I couldn't move my upper body. I couldn't even move my arms or anything. I was starting to hyperventilate because I thought, oh my goodness, he's got control of me. I feel like I'm pinned down. And then he flew a little more over to the right side of my bed, where he was about the closest he was going to be, about 4 feet away from me, 5 feet maybe. And I said, boy, I hope he doesn't come any closer. And he didn't. And then a thought popped in my head. And it said, if you have no intention of hurting him, he will let you go. And I thought, well, no, I just wanted to see if he was real. I just wanted to see if he's real. And it's like, the next thing is like, okay, I can move my head now. And then I can move my arms. And I thought, oh, this is such relief. And then I was out like a light. And I woke up at maybe 9 o'clock the next morning. This was at my mom's house. And I thought, was that a dream? And for years, I dismissed it. And then I realized, I don't remember my dreams unless I wake up right after them. This was so vivid, so clear, so real. And it happened in the middle of the night at 1 a.m. And then here I wake up at 9 a.m. So no, I'm absolutely convinced. I desired to meet a gray. And let me say, these are compassionate beings. I know they get a bad rap, and maybe there's some darker ones out there. But in my opinion, they're filled with love. They just don't understand emotion. And we get all worked up when we made an agreement to provide them with offspring so they could breed emotion back into their being. And we all don't understand this. Well, you forget that you agreed to do that, you know. Oh, no, don't take me. Ah. It's like, you're abducting me. Well, you said you would do it. And I've talked to people that have had experiences that one man from Canada, he was taken out of a truck stop in 1987, and he cried when these beings left, because he went through hypnosis, and they sat there and explained everything to him and told him why. And he said, this is my family. They feel like family. So I know there's been a lot of people that have been taken, and I know there are some that feel like it's a very horrible experience. And it may be. There may be ones I'm not aware of, or governments. I don't know. But I know more people than I don't know that have had a very, they see it as a wonderful thing. And that was my other I don't know how I got on that topic, Renata, but I wanted
to. No, that's okay. I love all the spiritual and metaphysical stories shared because it just shows everybody what's out there. And just to thank you for sharing. And so what I wanted to add to that is I wanted to ask you, have you ever heard of Dolores Cannon?
Yes. Actually, when I listen to your podcast, I'm well aware of who Dolores is.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure because she, when I first read her, I think, what did I read first? The Convoluted Universe, Volume 1. I think there's 5 of those books. But just for our listeners who might be new to her name, she was a hypnotist who came up with her own method, QHHT method of hypnosis. And she was particularly interested in finding out what actually happened to people who said they'd been abducted. And her findings are very much in alignment with what you just said, TJ, which is that actually their conscious minds may have remembered, their egos may have remembered a scary or traumatic experience, but actually their souls came out through the hypnosis to say that this was actually a blissful, joyful, loving experience and not a scary one or a kidnapping or anything like that, more of like a checking in. So if anyone's interested in that, Dolores Cannon has several books and they very much helped me in my awakening journey. And yeah, TJ, I'm glad that you brought that up. Thank you so much. And I think that we're going to come to a close in our interview now, but I would really love for you to share a bit more about how folks can reach you or listen to your podcast if they're interested.
Sure. My podcast is outthere.podbean.com, podbean.com. And there should be a way to connect with me. Otherwise, feel free to send me an email. TJ2, that's the number 2, at up.net is another way you can reach out to me. And if you want to be a guest on my show, I'd love anybody coming on there. Some people think, oh, I've got to write a book. Or I've got to host a podcast. I said, if you've got a story of joy or love, or even if it's paranormal, I like that stuff too, then I would love to have, and we all, I think, are meant to share those things. And the more we do, I think it connects us. That's what my show is all about.
I love it. I'm so grateful that we became acquainted. And I also did an episode just for our listeners on TJ's podcast Out There. So check that out. And TJ, it's been such a pleasure. I feel like we're neighbors. For those of you who didn't catch this, we are from very close places in the upper Midwest. So
how far is Costa Rica from where you're at in Costa Rica? How many miles would you say it's from upper Michigan where I'm at?
Oh, I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask about distances.
Thousands of miles. But yet you grew up in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, which if you go across the lake, it's like, what, 15 miles, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could fly there in 10 seconds if we were doing it that way, completely.
That's an odd coincidence that you were up here in Sturgeon Bay, and maybe just all the enlightened people come from upper Michigan, northern Wisconsin. I'm just throwing that out.
They probably do. I mean, I think that's true. And I want to shout out to Door County. I always say I'm from Door County because I did grow up in Judville and Fish Creek and Egg Harbor as well. So I love the county. So it feels like I get to talk to, you know, a loving a loving Uper. neighbor. So
that's how we talk up here, you know. It's like the Finlanders.
Oh, don't get me started because I'll go right back into my original accent and nobody knows about that yet. So
thank you
very much, TJ.
I am so pleased I got to speak with TJ Ryan today. He is such a kindred spirit. We could have talked for hours and I truly hope we get to speak again. I highly encourage you all to check out his podcast called Out There. And you can see that at outthere.podbean.com. I'm also a guest on his most recent podcast episode from June 25th, 2020. So check that out. I'm going to leave it there for today. Remember, if you would like some more support and community in your awakening process, or if you love the show and want to support it, please check out my Up, Up, and Awaken community on Patreon. And that can be found at patreon.com/up, up, and awaken. Thank you for listening. Stay positive, stay safe, and stay meta.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The statements and advice offered in this podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition, and are not substitutes for prudent medical care offered by a licensed medical professional. The Let's Get Metaphysical podcast is an Up, Up, and Awaken production. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. The show is produced and hosted by Renata Maniacci, creator of Up, Up, and Awaken, a platform devoted to creating conscious content to assist in the awakening currently taking place on this planet. If you want to see more from Up, Up, and Awaken, please subscribe to the Up, Up, and Awaken Productions channel on YouTube. If you are enjoying the podcast, let us know. Visit our website at letsgetmeta.com or shoot us an email at info@letsgetmeta.com. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Give us a 5-star rating or write us a review on your podcast app. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram at letsgetmeta. Share the podcast with your friends. We want this high-vibe content to reach as many aligned ears as possible. If you are looking for support in your awakening process, please consider becoming a member of our Up, Up, and Awaken community on Patreon. Patrons in this community both give support to the conscious content that Ren creates, like this podcast, and receive support in their awakening via the community's offerings, including courses, live group healings, and an interactive community. You can join the Up, Up, and Awaken community by visiting patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Let's Get Meta is almost entirely listener supported. If you love the show and want to support it, you can still become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. We appreciate all types of support. It helps keep this show going. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.